You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
There we go. Come on. You know what the Bible says before we go any further? There's two things that matter that we need to get out straight up the front, all right? I know Mother's Day, Father's Day, Easter, Christmas, that some of these times of year are tough for some people, right? Yeah? It's tough for some people, and that's okay. In fact, for pastors, it's one of the toughest times to figure out how do we honor some and be gentle to others, right? It's a tough time of the year. But here's something that we can do. There's something we need to all understand together. Number one, Scripture says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Okay? So if you've had a tough time, don't be afraid to rejoice with the moms in here, okay? There's some moms in here. Honor them, and we want to honor you. See, we always want to honor where honor's due. And you know moms deserve honor, amen? But Scripture also says to mourn with those who mourn. And so some people aren't having such a great day today, and we want to honor them too. We want to love them too. We want to appreciate people who have different struggles than us as well. So throughout the service, I want you to know that although we're talking about moms, all of this is relevant to everybody. Moms, dads, singles, grandparents, divorcees, this is relevant for everybody, and we want you to know that we love you too. In fact, I want everyone in here to understand that don't just rejoice with those who rejoice, but be aware of people who struggle. Invite them to your family. Come on, if someone's mom has passed away, don't let them be alone on Mother's Day, amen? Because we're a family. Get them to your house, you know? Bring someone along, because we don't want to take just the first bit and tell someone you need to rejoice. We want to take the second bit and say, and we're going to be with you, amen? So let's do that as a church. Can we do that? Fantastic. So let's move on. Hey, didn't you love that little dude? What a champion, hey? That kid's fantastic. I want him to come and live with me. He'd keep us all happy all the time, right? Cute little fella. You can tell he loves his mum, can't you? Right? You can tell that dude loves his mum. You can tell that he respects his mum. But you can also tell that his mum is not perfect. Right? Could you see that too? Hey, by the way, it's Mother's Day, but it's not Sleepy Day. So make sure you talk back at me, okay? All right? Y'all got a different excuse every now and again, all right? Today there's no excuse because we're in church, all right? So his mum wasn't perfect. You could tell that. He's saying, put down your phone. Put down your phone. And he needed to remind his mum not to name anyone's phone, right? Like, so she's got some issues, right? Saying, stop cleaning. Some people are like, thank you for that advice, all right? Some of you just need to stop cleaning for a moment. Take a little bit of time and make some mess with your kids. Don't let them be the only ones that mess the place up. You get to too, right? So some people, he's like, Mama, stop cleaning. Cool it on the meatloaf. Amen. What is that trash you got for you people cook? Good grief. He's right. It's like bread with meat in it. Like, I love meat. I love bread. I don't want to eat them together. Come on. And if I do, I want the meat in between the two pieces of the bread. I don't want it in the bread, right? Kids, right, that's disgusting. You need to Google rissole, not now. Google it after church. We're busy right now. You need to Google rissole. That's how you do something better than meatloaf, but kind of like it. R-I-S-S-O-L-E, rissole. Can someone say rissole? There we go, you got it. Have fun every now and again. Hug more, shout less. He obviously loves and respects his mum, but he understands that, come on, there's no such thing as a perfect mum, right? There ain't no perfect mums out there. See, in this world where everybody wants to be somebody, mums and daughters and ladies and women, I want to remind you all of one thing. You just gotta be you, right? Just be you. Just be who God created you to be. Everybody wants to be somebody. Everybody wants to be somebody else. You wanna be somebody? You wanna go somewhere? You better not sing that song. We all wanna be somebody, don't we? But why? It's like we wanna impress people. We wanna impress other people. But you just gotta be you. You just gotta be who God created you to be. See, I know that there's working mums in here who feel so much pressure to be at home because heaps of their friends stay home. But maybe God's got a plan for you at the DA's office. Maybe God's got a plan for you at Pioneer. Maybe God's got a plan for you where you are. So instead of feeling like you're not as good a mom as these other moms that stay home, how about we just go, all right, I'm going to be me, right? If that's where you find yourself, maybe God's got a plan for you right where you are, and you need to stop feeling like you're failing because you're not doing mom like everyone else around you is doing mom. Amen? Be you. Be who God called you to be. And some of you are stay-home moms, and you feel so much pressure to be something else. But if you're being what God's called you to be right now, there's nothing more that could ever satisfy you. Nothing at all. See, some of your friends are working, and maybe you wish that you could say to them that I'm this, I'm that, I'm an interior designer. But maybe at that moment, if God's called you to be a mom, that's the best thing in the world you could do. And maybe you just need to feel so confident in the calling, whether it's forever or for now, but live where you are, amen? Live where God's got you at that moment and be you. See, ladies, I know a lot of you feel like you aren't something till you get married, till you have kids, till this changes or that changes, but you got to understand something, that right now you're beautiful. God created you. You're created in the image of God, and right now you are something. You don't need to be something, you are something. Amen? See, God made you something. Before he knit you together in your mother's womb, he knew you, and you are something. And we talk about Jeremiah, where God says, before I formed you, I had plans for you, plans to prosper you. Come on, God has plans for you. Live in here. Live in that plan. Like Brandon said earlier in the day, earlier in the service, God's got dreams for you. Be you. Live the dream that God's given you. Don't worry about being somebody else. Don't worry about being them. All you have to do is be you. See, mums and dads, they spend a lot of time measuring themselves and trying to be somebody. We want to be like this famous person. We want to be like that person. We want to be like that person up there that all we see is the glorious and the lights, and we don't see the pain. But God's called you to be you. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with admiring people and looking up to people if they inspire you. But there is something wrong if you think that the people you look up to are infallible, perfect, sinless, and when they fart, rainbows come out and everything smells better and oh so scentsy. It's not like that. Sorry, can you say that in church? I'm telling you, you can't rob me of every good word in the language, all right? Every couple of weeks, America tells me that another word that I like is a sin. Don't rob me of this one. Me and my kids love it. And they say it with an American accent. It sounds way cooler when you people say it than when we say it. It's awesome. But they don't, do they? Your best friend, who you think so amazing, they're not perfect. Even Jesus' mother, Mary, had some issues. She wasn't perfect. Now, I'm not going to tear Mary down to lift you up. I'm not going to tear someone down to make you feel better. I'm not trying to point out someone else's faults to make me feel better. That's what we do that too much, don't we? Like, hey, well, I'm being a bit mediocre, so I'm going to point out that person's only having success because they're unethical and immoral. I don't want to do that, right? I want to ask the Lord to help me be who he's called me to be. But I am going to show you that even in the mum department, that imperfect people did extraordinary things. See, it is good to look at Scripture, and we're not tearing them down, but we're understanding who they are, what they are, and in the midst of them being them, that God did extraordinary things through their lives. We'll just say that Mary, the mother of Jesus, accomplished extraordinary things with her life. Hands up if you'd say that. She did extraordinary things. If you didn't put your hand up then, well, don't, you know, your Savior is one of the things that she brought into the world. So that brings us to the story of Mary and Jesus at the wedding. It's kind of hard to think of Mary, who was more honored than almost anyone in Scripture, She was chosen by God to be the mother of the Messiah. And her life is so central to the ministry of Christ that some churches even teach that she never sinned. They actually believe that she's never sinned. But she did. Do I have examples for her specific sin? No. But I don't have examples of many of yours either. But I know you did. She was chosen by God for a special task. But she was a mortal woman. And when Romans says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, while that includes you, it includes her too. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, she wasn't perfect. She was phenomenal. Let's not tear her down. She was amazing, right? But she wasn't perfect. But she was like David in that she was a woman after God's heart. She knew where her strength came from. But she wasn't perfect. And there were some other things in her life that aren't really sin, but they're kind of annoying if you're a kid, right? She's a bit of a meddling mom. You read scripture and you notice that? Like Mary's trying to like always getting up in Jesus' business. You notice that? Because she's a mom, right? And you know mums aren't the only ones that meddle, right? Dads meddle too. You know that, don't you? We meddle differently. Like we sometimes meddle with a shotgun pointed at a boyfriend. And boyfriend disappears. Their family's like, where'd my son go? And he's never seen again. Dads, that's meddling too. All right? It's not just protecting, it's also meddling. But Mary was a bit of a meddler, and you better believe she was good at meddling too. You go to John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to them, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." Right? He's just chilling out. He's drinking the water. And mom comes up and like, she's meddling, you know? Like, fix this, Jesus. You're God. He's like, "I'm God, but my time hasn't yet come." She's like, "But come on, just do this, you know?" Just sort of imagine the conversation, right? You know, we get this bit and it's probably like extra little bits in there. Like, no, mom, no. It's like Bruce Wayne, he's Batman. Someone comes up and they're like, "No, Bruce, come on." He's like, "No, come on, it's a secret right now. Don't tell anyone, they don't know that I'm God." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever Jesus tells you." And nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, and each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. I got to like that little bit of extra faith there. You know that "fill them to the brim" bit? Hey, when God tells you to do something and you're expecting a miracle, fill that thing to the brim. Amen? You get everything you can out of that, all right? You got a word from God, fill that sucker to the brim. Amen? Get all you can get. Amen? So he fills them to the brim. They fill them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw out some and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. The master of the banquet tasted the water and it had been turned into wine. He didn't realize where it had come from, though the servants who'd drawn it knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory and his disciples put their faith in him. Now, she was a bit of a meddler. I get that. But come on, her meddling revealed the glory in Jesus. Amen. So that's pretty exciting. So here we have them at a Jewish wedding. Jewish weddings are far more elaborate than ours. Now, I'm sure your wedding was great. But it was nothing like this. See, our wedding ceremonies might last the better part of a day, right? Or half a day, maybe, from about midday to about 9:30 for most, or for me, until about 10 minutes after I've eaten the meal. But as a fancy American wedding can be, they still don't match the vibrancy that a Jewish culture invested in the event. It usually started with a time of feasting. And then late in the evening, the father of the bride would take his daughter on his arm and parade her and the wedding party around the streets of their town until finally they get to the groom's house, and everyone's congratulating them on the way. They get married. The ceremony takes place in front of the groom's house. Then dad grabs the bride, the groom, all the groomsmen and bridesmen. They parade around the town again, taking the longest route they possibly can with lit torches. They parade them around so that everybody can wish them well. And that's when the real celebration begins. And it lasts about a week. Right? It lasts about a week. Now we do that too, but we go on a honeymoon and y'all don't come with us. We get married and we're out. All right? Here, they get married and the celebration lasts a week at their house. At their house. You caught that, right? Like, I'm afraid to go to a newly married couple's house. I'm never going there. After this, they held an open house. They were treated like royalty. They dressed in fancy clothes, and many times they even wore crowns to feel like royalty. And the groom's family provided all the refreshments for the week of festivities. And that's what's happening here in John chapter 2 that we're reading about just now. But something happened. They ran out of wine. And that's a big deal. Because remember, this event was showing their class, their royalty, they're amazing, they're brilliant. Look at my kids, and they ran out of wine. You know what that said about them? That said that they're broke. That said they can't afford it. That said they're not what you think they are. It was embarrassing. It messed them up. So Mary, perhaps growing impatient for Jesus to start doing his God thing, knows he might be the right guy to fix this. We don't know whether it was another one of their kids being married or whether it was a relative or a close family member, but we know that she cared about what everyone thought about them. So she asked Jesus to fix it. Remember what she said to the servants after talking to Jesus? She says, do what Jesus tells you. In fact, sorry, do whatever he tells you. Here's my point, mums. You might make mistakes once in a while. You'll get angry when you get tired. That happens, right? Sometimes you get angry when you get tired. Sometimes you yell when you shouldn't. You might even fail more than you'd like to admit publicly, and you'll feel terrible for it. But like you, Mary didn't always have it right. But you'll never go wrong if you do what she said. Tell your children, do whatever Jesus says. Amen. Create an atmosphere and environment in your house where your kids want to have a relationship with Jesus. Where you can tell your kids that sometimes, hey, I don't know the dreams God's going to put in your heart, but I know he will. And when Jesus speaks to you, do what Jesus says. Tell you what, you'll be the best mom on the planet in the midst of all your mistakes. And I'm not calling mums out for being mistake makers. Believe me, I'm a dad and I know that compared to the mistakes that I make, mums have never sinned. Or fallen short of the glory of God compared to me and my friend Brandon. All right? That's right, eh, Brandon? We talk about how messed up we are sometimes and then we encourage each other that we can do better. Right? But you know what? You can make any mistake you want, but teach your kids to seek the face of Jesus Christ. Teach your kids to live in an atmosphere that's open to hearing the word and the voice of God. And you will never, ever regret it. You know what? I want to talk to men for a moment too. Ladies, I apologize if this is news to you, but men, you need to stop making lists about what other people's wives do right. Now, I'm not saying that you're like saying you want their wives or anything like that. I'm not talking about that. But you know, you've done it. You know if you've done it, I should say. When you start to think about what that person's like as a wife and how you wish your wife was more like that, you know, making lists of the things that that person does right while also making a list of the things that your wife does wrong, you need to throw that clipboard away, start again, and make a new list of what your bride does for you and your kids and what she does right. Amen? They're the lists we need to be making. They're the lists we need to be looking at. See, so I asked my kids yesterday, my darling wife was in Omaha because there's a family in our church who one of their family members have been gone through some stuff, so they're in a place in Omaha. And my wife, because she's got a beautiful heart and does way more than anyone knows, she drives over there to visit them and to love them and to visit their family member and let them hold Zoe and encourage them and pray with them, because she's an amazing woman. And while she was gone, I talked to my kids and I asked them, what does mummy do for you? And this is without editing it, in order, the first few things they told me. Are you ready for it? She cleans up our mess. Yep, and what they don't know is she's going to be doing that till they're 45. Come over for a visit, she'd be like, oh, what? Let me get this off your cheek. Mom, I'm 45. Get that spit off my face. Right? Come on. She's going to be doing that for a long time because she wants to make sure they're okay. You're not meddling, you know. But it's got a beautiful heart, doesn't it? She's going to do that for a long time. I know it. They told me that Mum reads us stories. I thought that she does. I remember her doing that from the day our firstborn was born, just reading them stories. She takes us to church. I really love that one because I get here about 5:30 in the morning. And my wife brings the kids to church. And they know that Mum has created an environment where we go to church. That was on their list. I was surprised. It's on their list. She takes us to church. They told me that Mum makes them yummy dinner, but mostly she just makes healthy dinner. Because apparently the two are mutually exclusive. So many conversations in our house about how you can have, Judah telling me how all the yummy food is bad guys in your stomach and all the yucky food puts good guys in your stomach. And so, whatever. So I was thinking about that myself, and then after they were talking, I thought, I need to make a list. So I started to make a list of what my bride, my wife, the mother of my children, does, and I realized she cooks for me most every night, right? Almost every day she cooks for me. She cleans the house every day, like every single day, like probably every 15 minutes when there's four kids at home. Every day, every 10 minutes. You get the point, right? She's never once forgotten to pick the kids up from school, which I did like the third time I had to do it. Phone call from the school. Why's the school calling me? I don't need to talk to them right now. Didn't answer. Phone call from my wife. School's calling me because I said, oh, that's why the school was calling me. She's never left the kids anywhere accidentally. And I almost accidentally leave. I've never done it, but I almost do every time I take him somewhere. She buys the ugliest things you could possibly imagine from garage sales and makes them look really good, right? And sometimes, yes, paint gets on the deck, but most of the time, she just takes this ugly stuff and makes it look really good. Brandon and I were laughing about that in between services because his wife does it too. Buy stuff for a dollar and think she's putting it in my house. And then it looks amazing. It's great. Saves us money too, and I like that. And she keeps Facebook and Instagram constantly updated so that our uncles, aunts, parents, grandparents, sisters, brothers can all feel like they're a part of our lives. She didn't take selfies every day. Come on, she's showing our family and our friends what's going on, how good God's been to us. Amen? Talk about a positive spin. You can start to think like that too. Amen? Instead of worrying, oh, she's always on the phone. Put the phone down. Now, come on, she's doing an important job. Our families, they'd have kicked our butts if we didn't have Facebook when we moved over here. She does so much more than that. And she still lets me come home and say stupid things like, so what'd you guys do today, without stabbing me in the throat? And that's a big deal. So I want all the dudes in here, whether you are married or not, to stand up and give the mums a great big cheer. Give them a great big round of applause. Come on. Come on, give the mums. Tell them thank you. Thank you, mums. There we go. Because we love moms, don't we? If you love moms, yell out, yeah! And I'll have the band come back up. But here's the deal. Jesus wasn't kidding. Here's a special deal for everybody else. You got to know this, all right? Special deal for you. Jesus wasn't kidding when he said, these are brothers and sisters, mother and father. See, because someone come up to him and they said, yo, Jesus, your family's waiting out there for you. Jesus like, these are my mother and father. These are my brothers and sisters. Looking around at them. And it's not a cliche, and I want you to know this, that if on Mother's Day you feel alone, that these are your brother and sisters. These are your mother and father. Just like Jesus said. Now, if you study that wedding more, you'll understand that all those guests are us. You study that a bit more, that's us. So when he pointed to them all and said, these are my brothers and sisters, these are my mother and father, he's talking to you. He's talking to us. We are brothers and sisters. Amen. We are mothers and fathers. And you know, I just need you to know there are people in our church all the time saying things like this. There are men and women that always say to me, you know, I want to be like a, I want to be an encourager. I want to be a mentor. I want to be an inspiration. I want to help. I want to love. I want to care for the people in our church that don't have mums or dads around. I want to be there for them. For the people that, things that they've been waiting for and asking for haven't yet come. They're still waiting on their dreams. I want to be there to encourage and love that. There's men and women in our church that ask me that all the time, and we connect them with people, and we say, this person needs that. Would you love them, you know? And so we do that. We take it seriously when we say, these are your brothers and sisters. These are your mother and father. So mums, with that in mind, I want to ask you to do one more thing today. And I know you're wonderful. I know you're amazing. You're all incredible. But I want to ask you to do one more thing today. Out here, when we have our brunch, maybe tonight when you have your dinner, I want you to remember your church family also. See, some of you know people in church here today who aren't married or don't have kids, or their mother or father have passed away. Some of you don't have a relationship. Sorry, some people here don't have relationships with their mothers. I want you to remember to pray for these people because they're family, you know? So tonight at your Mother's Day dinner, would you pray for them when you sit down to eat? Some of you might even want to open up your home and open up your table to some of these people tonight. Because in the words of Jesus Christ, these are my brothers and sisters, and these are my mother and father. And those words have always meant something special to me because I know what it was like to grow up without your mum in your life, and it's tough. See, I know that, but it's not a cliche to me because I know that having no mum around, that there were women in the church that were like a mum to me. There was one older lady, she'd never have any kids, she'd never been married, but I tell you, she was the most amazing woman to me. I'll remember her till the day I die. She always prayed for me, she always encouraged me, she always loved me, and she was a mum, amen. I'm not being cliche, and when you don't have one, you know what I'm talking about, the value of those people in your lives that say, I don't care what the world dished out to you, I'm going to give you all that you are supposed to get. I really believe that today in church, at this altar time, that relationships are going to be restored. Moms and dads and husbands and wives, marriages, children with their parents, parents with their children. I believe God wants to do something special in your life today. Would you stand up with me, church, as we get ready to close? If Mother's Day is tough for you at church, I want to give you the best piece of advice I can ever give you for Mother's Day or Father's Day or Easter or Christmas, these family times. Never leave church sad without asking someone to pray for you. And it's like when you're sick, I said it a couple of weeks ago, when I got a headache in the morning, I'm going to church. I'm going to get prayer. There's the loud music. My headache's either going to get worse or get healed, but it will be different. Amen. let's do that as well. If Mother's Day's tough for you, maybe you do need to cry it out, and that might feel worse. But maybe you do need to just cry it out and let God just break that off your heart. But you need to ask the Lord for prayer. Believers to come and stand with you in faith that it will be different. Amen. And if you're a mom or a dad out there, and you spent so much time looking at friends, comparing yourself to them, looking at your friends that God put in your life to inspire you, to encourage you, to come alongside you, and you look at them and you compare yourself and you see what they are that you're not, you need to stop that. You need to stop that. Because God made you, you. And they look at you and see things that you are that they're not and that they wish that they were doing. You need to stop that. You need to be who God's called you to be. Let's stop comparing ourselves to other people. Now we need to look at ourselves and be inspired by God and ask God to fix the things in our lives that need to be changed. But we need to not compare ourselves to our friends. God put them in your life to bless you, and you might have let it become a curse. Come on, let's not do that anymore. You might need to be set free of a spirit of comparison, where you're always comparing yourself and judging yourself against other people. Let's not do that. But we're going to open up this time for prayer now. And whatever it is in your life, we're believing that God is going to either set you free or restore broken things in your life today. Now, if you need prayer for anything else at all, then you come on down here and we're going to pray for you. Maybe you need prayer in your marriage. Maybe you need prayer in your finances. Maybe you need prayer for healing in your body. I don't know what it is that you need prayer for, but let's all get down here together and let's pray and believe that whatever you came in here struggling with, you're going to walk out. It will be different today in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise and let's worship Him as we get ready to pray.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.